In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? We read these words this past week from Romans chapter 3. The week after All Saints is when we begin to read the Epistle to the Romans, which is one of the most important books of the New Testament. And believe it or not, the answer to that question has a direct connection with the commemoration today of All Saints of Russia and why we celebrate this feast. In the first epistle reading we heard today, we heard some of the context that lays behind what St. Paul was talking about here. St. Paul was pointing out that there is no preference with God, that if a Gentile who was following the law that he had written on his conscience was responding accordingly and living according to that law, that he was justified. Whereas a Jew that was not living according to the law that he had would be condemned. And so there wasn't any preference. The Jew didn't have an advantage over the Gentile just because he was a Jew. And so what you have to understand when you're reading the epistle to the Romans, especially during this portion of that epistle, St. Paul is sort of recounting the kinds of arguments that he had with the Jews when he would go to a new village somewhere on his missionary journeys and he would proclaim the gospel to them. He went over all these same issues over and over again because the Jews would raise the same kinds of objections. And of course, some of them would embrace the gospel and some of them would reject it, unfortunately. So what was typically said to St. Paul after he said that both Jews and Gentiles stand condemned before God and are in need of his mercy, they would say, well, what was the point of the whole Old Covenant? Was God just playing games when he revealed himself to Abraham and his descendants? Was he being untruthful when he made covenant promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to Moses, and to David? And St. Paul gives the answer. He says, much in every way. In other words, there is an advantage that the Jew has, and there is an advantage to circumcision. And he says, chiefly because unto them were committed the oracles of God. He doesn't elaborate on the advantage of circumcision, but circumcision was a sign of the old covenant just as baptism is a sign of the new covenant. And when we're baptized, we enter into a relationship with God just like the Jews of the Old Testament did, but we have to do something with that. It's not just in and of itself beneficial, but we wouldn't want to go to the opposite extreme and say that it doesn't matter like some Protestants would do. It doesn't matter whether you were baptized or not. It doesn't matter whether you were raised in a Christian home or not. It only matters whether you believe. There's advantages to having been raised in a godly family. And especially the advantages that the Jews had was that God had revealed himself to them in history and he had given them the sacred scriptures. And that's one of the reasons why we as Orthodox Christians shouldn't denigrate the Old Testament. We should study it. It's there for our benefit, St. Paul tells us repeatedly. And so we should study it. These are the very words of God, and the Jews had received it. And in these oracles, God had foretold what would come. He had pointed to Christ. And those Jews that had lived according to the moral law of God and also according to the ceremonial law that they had been given, and that ceremonial law pointed to Christ. Those that had faith, that trusted in Christ, not knowing all that we know, but knowing what they could know from what was foreshadowed in the Old Testament, were saved by faith in Christ, just as we are saved. But it was not an inherent benefit. It's only a benefit if you actually do something with it. It's only a benefit if you strive to live according to that revelation that you've received. And he goes on to say, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and might overcome when thou art judged. The fault with the Jews that were not saved was not with God. It wasn't that God didn't keep his promises. It wasn't that God didn't tell the truth. The fault was with them. God's promises are true. And if there were a trial and all that God had done for the Jews was examined alongside all that the Jews had done and failed to do in response to God, God would come out the clear winner and his righteousness and justice are all the more clearly manifested. But if our unrighteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, says the Jewish objector that he's interacting with in this epistle, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. In other words, he's speaking like these people who are responding to him. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? The objection that's being raised here is that if the unfaithfulness of the Jews demonstrated God's righteousness and his mercy and his patience and long-suffering, then why should they be judged? The Jews have been the means of God's revelation, and so ought they not be exempt from God's wrath because of this? For if the truth of God hath more abundantly through my lie unto his glory, why am I also judged a sinner? And not rather, as we are slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Because St. Paul had preached that both Jews and Gentiles were under the condemnation of God because of their sins, and that the history of Israel's unfaithfulness had especially demonstrated both their failure to live up to God's standards as well as God's love, patience, and mercy, some tried to twist what St. Paul was saying and to suggest that he was saying that we should just keep on saying it doesn't matter what we do so that God's grace may abound. And you can understand when the Jews are being told by Paul that it's not by the works of the ceremonial law, it's not by you keeping all the letter of the law and dotting your I's and crossing your T's that you're saved. It's by faith in Christ and in his mercy that you're saved. When they would hear that, they would be inclined to say, well, you're saying it doesn't matter what we do. We can just go do whatever we want. And St. Paul is saying, God forbid, that's not at all what I'm saying. The point that St. Paul is making in the book of Romans is we're all sinners. We all need his grace and his mercy, both Jews and Gentiles. If we were to put it in our context, we might say both converts and those born in the church. The Jews were not exempt, but this was not because they had no advantages in all that God had revealed to them or in their striving to keep the old covenant. It's just that the advantage was not something that was inherent in being a Jew. Just because they were a Jew, they were not going to be saved. The advantage was to those Jews that were both true Jews inwardly and outwardly, those Jews that were actually listening to what the law had to say and what the prophets had to say and striving to live accordingly. Likewise, we could ask the same question that St. Paul asked at the beginning of this reading. What advantage hath the Russian, or what advantage hath the Greek, or the Serb, or the Arab Christian? And what advantage does baptism have? And like St. Paul, we can say much in every way, because it's a great thing to be part of a family and of a nation that has preserved and passed on the faith, that has struggled to maintain it and produce so many saints like the Russian church has produced and like all the other local Orthodox churches. And one might say, for those of us that aren't connected ethnically with those groups, you could also talk about the 1,000-year Orthodox history of the people of England or the people of Scotland or Ireland. Those people also produce many great saints. But even if we have no connection to any of those people who've ever been Christian, when we enter into the church, just like the Gentile converts of St. Paul's time, we are grafted in to a people of God, to the new Israel, and we're all one. There's not Russian, there's not American, there's not Jew, there's not Gentile. We are all one. And so whether you're a Russian or not, you can celebrate today the fruit of the Russian church and thank God for this. Now, sometimes both cradle Orthodox and converts have some misperceptions of one another. I've heard people who are born in the church that will speak in bad ways about other people who are born in the church, and they'll talk about how, well, they're all lazy, they don't really understand their faith, but you converts, you know more, so much more than we know. And unfortunately, that's true in many cases, because if you don't try to learn about your faith, you're going to be very ignorant. But of course, many people grew up in pious families, and that's not at all true. And sometimes converts will look at people who are born in the church, and they'll think that I don't really have anything to learn from them because I can quote from the Philokalia more than they can or something like that. But one thing I can tell you from having been a convert for now more than half of my life is that I've benefited very much from being around people who've grown in the church. And I'm thankful to God that this parish has a good mix of both, because it's true that people who choose the faith, people who as adults embrace the Orthodox faith, they obviously are going to have a certain level of zeal, because if you're apathetic, you wouldn't bother to become Orthodox. But it's also true that when you haven't grown up in the church, when you haven't been raised by a family in the faith, there are gaps in your knowledge. There are things that you don't know. There's a certain lack of balance. And so while the people who are born in the church, maybe the fire of the converts can help warm them up some too, if they aren't already. But those of you that have converted to the faith and embraced it, you'd need the balancing that you get from people who have grown up in the faith, so that you don't get off kilter, so that you don't act according to zeal without knowledge. There's great benefit that we derive from having a godly family, from a pious people, but that benefit consists in the opportunity that it gives us to continue on in the example of our righteous forebears. There's no automatic benefit to being a Russian. There's no automatic benefit to being a Greek, a Serb, or whatever, just like there was no automatic benefit to being a Jew genetically and outwardly. It's not a matter of your ancestry or a matter of keeping traditions outwardly. So we celebrate all the saints of the Russian church who have gone before us, and as we do so, let it not just be a matter of ethnic pride, but let us strive to be like them in their love for God. Let us also strive to avail ourselves to the riches of our spiritual forefathers that they have passed on to us and preserved, so that we can receive the mercy and grace of God for ourselves and for the sake of those who will come after us, pass it on as well. Amen.